Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Yeah, that's right. You heard me say it. It's Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Well, maybe we lost you. He's coughing over his entry, intro there. You okay?
I forgot to press the cough button.
So, well, there you go. You got a sneak preview of Schomburg Stew there. And if you'd like to call in and talk to us, hopefully Stew will be okay. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, go ahead and email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link. You want to follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give it a like while you're over there, that'd be greatly appreciated. But don't forget, we still have the Twitter feed, of course, which is, come on, you know this, it's at Sports Time Radio. You can find me on Twitter at Burke Time. And no, we still don't have Stu a Twitter account yet. Well, maybe one of these days we'll get one, but who knows. But, you know, as always, send me your questions for Stu, and I will forward them along, no problem. See, we got it all covered. So, all right, well, it looks like, you know, we'll have hockey back relatively soon as they've agreed to their proposal. The NBA today approved the Players Association approved their 22-team, as they called it, format to finish the season, because I believe some of their games are going to be considered regular season games. And, obviously this is something the NFL isn't really going to have to deal with. You know, they may start a little late, but not too big of a deal. And we wait on one sport and one sport only that cannot get its head out of its rear end. And looks like we're going to lose an entire season. And that, of course, would be Major League Baseball. Yay.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything that would suggest otherwise today. There appears to be absolutely no movement regarding the dispute between the players and management.
Yeah, well, once the owners decided that they weren't going to counter that players, the players' proposal, the 114-game proposal, you knew that it was over. There's nowhere to go. I know there was some rumblings about the owners coming back with a 50-game season, which would have been just like, you know, slapping the fans in the face to get just 50 games. But, you know, I honestly don't think there's going to be a season, but I keep hoping a little bit that, you know, that they're going to wake up, because, you know, you think – people on each side have got to realize that if they can't get this together, they're probably looking at the beginning of the death of the game, because they're not going to get these fans back. And I'll be interested to know how these players react when you can't get $100 million contract anymore, because it's just not in the cards. You know, you're not going to be able to continually raise ticket prices because nobody's going to show up. And, of course, obviously that's going to reflect in the salaries. I mean, the players can cry collusion all they want, but where's this money going to come from?
Yeah, and you remember the last time there was a baseball strike? It took about 2 years before the attendance started to get a little bit higher, because it was definitely down for the first 2 years after the strike. And the only reason the attendance started to get better after those 2 years was the Sosa-McGuire baseball home run that took place with the juice ball, but no one knew about it, of course.
Yeah. Now they've already juiced the baseballs. You know, before it was the players that were juiced. Now it's the baseballs. So,
yeah.
I don't think, you know, what else? They can't really do anything else. And, you know, even with all the home runs last year, it didn't help attendance that much. I don't know how you entice fans to come, you know, to come back now after this. I mean, you know, we're, you know, it's going to be looked at, which it is. It's, you know, it's millionaires crying with billionaires. You know, people who have more money than they're ever going to need just can't get together and work it out. And it yeah. you know, just the incredible stupidity behind it, you know, and I mean, call it stupidity. In reality, it's probably just straight out greed. You know, the players want the money. The owner wants the money. That's just how it works out. You know, and everybody can't have all the money like they want. So in return, well, I'm going to take my ball and go home and we're not going to play.
Yeah, well, remember, we are a very forgiving nation, and maybe after a year or two go by, and the fans will forgive the players and management and start to come out again and watch the games. And you know that the historic ballparks like Fenway Park and Wrigley Field will be crowded, but that doesn't say much for the other stadiums like Miami and Tampa and even the White Sox Park and some of the other ones regarding their attendance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you you think about it, I mean, there's a lot of teams that couldn't draw as it was. This isn't going to help them. You know, I mean, we've talked about Tampa Bay a number of times. You can throw Cleveland in there, which have been winning competitive franchises. And for whatever reason, you know, add the Braves in there now, people just don't show up to watch them.
No,
and I don't know. I don't know what more they want. I mean, obviously they haven't really. You know, Atlanta has like the one World Series win, but you know, Tampa Bay or Cleveland. Cleveland hasn't won a World Series in a long time, and I don't believe did Tampa ever win one. Maybe they have won somewhere, but
they may have won one.
You know, at least you're getting a winner. You know, you're getting a playoff contender every year and a team that has a shot. And for whatever reason, I mean, these people just aren't going to the games, and I you know, you wonder why. And I mean, obviously the economics of the city have a lot to do with it, and I know the ballpark in Tampa is horrible to go to, because Dan went to it last year on vacation and he just said it's a pit. So, but yeah, I mean, you gotta wonder, I mean, can it get any worse in Tampa? I mean, do they start drawing less than 1,000 people?
Yeah, that reminds me. There were a couple of games in the 60s when the Cubs drew less than 1,000, believe it or not, in their last place finish year after year after year. So things can get really bleak if you're not a contending team.
I know the Cubs went through some struggles there, even the 70s, you know, when they weren't getting that many. You know, that was part of that big Lee Elia tirade. You know, when they were only drawing about 10,000 fans a game, you know, that he mentions, you know, so they, you know, they had their struggles. I mean, luckily they don't have that problem anymore. Because, you know, even when they were bad, I mean, attendance went down a little bit, but they were still one of the highest drawing teams in baseball. So, you wonder though, I mean, is it possible we lose some teams here? You know, the A's are already look to be in financial trouble. If we don't have a season, could they be in even more? You know, the smaller market teams, the Pittsburghs, the Minnesotas, you know, Tampa Bay, who just can't draw, Miami, who stinks, you know, could we actually see a couple teams go under?
It's possible they would have to consolidate. Maybe they wait. What do you think? They go from 30 to maybe 26 teams? I don't know.
Yeah, 28, 26, something.
Yeah, I can see that
something
happening. But here's the thing.
You know,
I think baseball is going to come back next year. Let's assume it comes back. You're not gonna have the national pastime not come back eventually. The question I have for you is this: if indeed when it comes back, will there be some kind of olive branch to the fans? Will there be a reduction in the amount, the cost to get into the park? Will they have some incentives for the fans? Will they do something to make it more friendly and appealing to the fans? Will they ask the fans to forgive them by giving them something in return.
Should there be? Yes, there should. Will there be? No, there won't. That's just, you know, that kind of drops back into the greed aspect of it all. You know, and I mean, there are some teams I know, you know, like the White Sox have that, you know, they already give their fans, like, I think it's $5 Monday where you sit in the bleachers for like $5. You know, and there are teams that offer those kind of ticket specials. And again, they're the smaller market, non-drawing type of teams. But, you know, the teams like the Cubs and the Red Sox and the Yankees, you know, the teams that just draw, the Dodgers, they don't care. You know, it's just all flat out about how much money we can make, you know, and that's it.
Yeah, maybe it'll be some kind of an apology from the players, some kind of a thing in the newspaper saying, please forgive us, we're back, we want to play baseball, we want to entertain you, come out and see us play, type of thing.
Yeah. So, well, you know, and what I was trying to figure out, and actually I don't know why this popped into my head last night, but what I'm wondering now is if there is no season, you know, and the player who came to mind right away was Chris Bryant, he has now accrued no more service time. Is he still 2 years away from free agency, or does 2020 count? Because he didn't play any games.
Yeah, I would say it's not going to count. I think they're going to have to defer it for another year. That seems the only logical decision to make. And boy, you can bet there'll be some grievances because of that from the Players Association.
Yeah, he's not the only guy, but he, you know, that was just the one that popped into my head because he just had the grievance, you know, that he lost here recently where he ended up with 2 years instead of one. So, yeah, it would be interesting to see, you know, how that works out. And then, you know, you look at some of these teams, you know, like the Dodgers, you know, they made a gigantic trade to go out and get one of the best players in baseball in Mookie Betts. He's in the last year of his contract. Are they really going to get nothing out of this guy? Because, you know, there's always the chance that they won't be able to re-sign him. So they make this big deal and you get nothing. All you did was get to pay them.
I think that they will have to take into consideration that there's no baseball this year. Everything will be put on the burner for one more year. That seems like the only fair thing to do. Of course, when has baseball ever been fair to the fans or to the players or to anybody else? But that, I mean,
you know,
I can't think of anything,
you know,
anything logically else they could do, but to just defer things for one more year.
Yeah, you know, except the problem with that is, you know, the contract is expired. You know, his contract is up. It ends, you know, whatever the end date is for 2020 or 2021, you know, early 2021, he's no longer under contract.
I wonder
so,
if there's any clause
in
those contracts, though. Is there a clause for extraordinary circumstances, catastrophic event happening, would that negate the contract for the 1 year and give it one more year instead?
So, you know, and, you know, the funny thing is, in reality, it may be in his best interest to just go ahead and play again for whatever salary he was supposed to get, because he's not going to get that $300 million deal that everybody talked about him getting when he was traded. You know, I don't know who his agent is or what he's thinking, but those, you know, if he does become a free agent, that offer's not going to be out there. He'll be lucky to get half of them, you know, after this fiasco, you know, because these owners are going to lose millions of dollars. And I know, you know, the majority of them can afford it. It'll just be a fun tax write-off for them. But, you know, now when the players cry, oh, my God, they're colluding against us, the owners can actually go, oh, yeah, I lost this many million dollars last year because we didn't play.
Has it been established yet what happens now to the players who have these long-term contracts? Like Bryce Harper, for example, will he get paid this year if there's no baseball?
Yeah, apparently, from what I understand, they were paid whatever their salary was up until it may have actually been June 1st. And then everybody goes on a prorated salary. So while I don't believe they're getting their full salary, they are getting a salary that's coming in. And it's I'm probably sure it's more than, you know, you and I have ever made in our lifetime when it comes to somebody like Bryce Harper.
Yeah, for example, that's true. No tag days for these guys, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, you're not going to see him, you know, in line at the, you know, the food depository, you know, looking for freebies or stuff like that. He'll be okay. You
it's
know,
really a shame that it's boiled down to this. And when you think about it, you think that they can come up with an agreement, a compromise between the players and the owners, say, oh, we wanted 110, we wanted 50, let's play 80, and let's play baseball and stop the dickering, and it's in the best interest to us and to the fans to play baseball, so let's do it. But I guess that's not the way they think.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it doesn't appear to be the amount of games that's the issue. It's all money related. You know, the owners want a bigger chunk of the revenue. You know, they want a 50-50 split where right now it's in favor of the players. You know, for this year, the owners want to pay a reduced salary. You know, they want every player to take a pay cut. You know, and I mean, I could understand maybe saying, okay, we're only playing this many games. You know, let's cut it to this. But, I mean, the pay cut they were asking these guys to take, you know, the way it worked out was if you had a contract for $10 million, they wanted to pay you $2.9 million. So they were asking you to take a $7.1 million pay cut. And then, of course, as your salary went up, you were asked to be, you know, you were asked to give away more money. There was just no way that was going to fly with the players.
Yeah, you think a 50% reduction would be fair for both sides if there's a half the season being played. And don't forget that, don't the players get some revenue out of the gates too, a portion of the gates?
Yeah, you know, that's all factored in however, you know, the revenue is split. And that's what the owners wanted. They wanted it to be 50-50. And, you know, it's not right now. And it's not too much off of 50-50. You know, the players get a little better share, but not too much. It you know, it may be 53-47 or something like that. But what I couldn't understand, and maybe, you know, maybe you could explain this to me. You know, and we'll use Bryce Harper as an example. You know, his contract calls for him to make $29 million this season. All right, so say we agreed to the player's decision and they played 114 games. Why couldn't they just do it where he was paid, you know, what would it be? It would be almost $4 million or what, $3 million a game or something like that. You know, why couldn't they just prorate his salary per game and pay everybody per game, instead of the guarantee that they were going to get for the year? You know, and that would just naturally bring the numbers down because we're playing less games.
You would think that that's a logical solution.
So, you know, and I mean, I don't know if that's been proposed by either side, but, you know, I mean, in reality, it just kind of makes common sense. Here's what you agreed to pay me, but it was over a 162-game season. Now that the season is only going to, you know, maybe they decide on, you know, 100 games. So, you know, instead of, you know, whatever $30 million would be for a 162-game season, you give me $30 million, you know, you give me that per game average over 100 games.
Yeah, just 5/8 of your salary. That's all. That's
right.
Five-eighths of the salary. That seems so easy from when we talk about it. I don't know why it's so difficult when baseball and management start to get together. What the complications, I guess, are enormous, and we're probably doing it much too simplistically.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's weird because, I mean, that just seems like it's the thing that makes sense.
Yeah, it does to you.
Lake Snell was like, well, I want my money. Okay, well, you're not working. Why should you get paid for not working?
Yeah,
I'll pay you for the game you play. You know, there's no issue with that. However many games you play, here's your money. That's great. But you're, you know, if you're not going to play any games, why do I pay you?
And this has to upset the average fan. Let's face it. With the loss of their income and what these guys want, the baseball players want, the insatiable greed has to alienate the fan base.
No, you know, my baseball depression is at an all-time high, and I, you know, it just drives me incredibly insane that, you know, these people who are wealthier than wealthy aren't smart enough to realize what they're doing to this game. And I mean, I just don't think they're going to get it. And when, you know, when the people don't come back, they're going to get what they deserve.
Yeah. Yeah. You think that they would take those things into consideration, but evidently not. And I wonder what Scott Boras thinks about all this right now.
Well, you know, all Scott Boras came out and said was don't give in to the owners. You know, because obviously if the players take a pay cut, he's got to take a pay cut as well. And you know damn well he doesn't want to do that, even though there's another guy who probably doesn't need to earn another dime and would be fine forever.
Yeah, well, think about this. Today is June 5th. If they don't have this thing resolved in a week and a half, you might as well forget about there being baseball this year. And I think you're kind of resigned to the fact that there won't be.
Yeah, no, I'm finally to the point where, you know, I get that there won't be a season. You know, I really thought when the owners sent that first proposal to the players, you know, the 82 game one, I was like, okay, good. They've got a starting point now. You know, we've got something going on with, you know, where they're going to get going and how it's going to work out. And, you know, you knew there would be some kind of negotiations involved with, you know, what would kind of work it out. But, you know, I think what a lot of people don't realize is the owners asked for a lot of give back from the players from what they lost in the last CBA. You know, that's where that revenue sharing came from. And all the other stuff the owners asked back for was stuff they negotiated away that now they've decided they want back. And I guess they thought with everything going on, this would be the perfect time to ask for it and nobody would notice.
Yeah.
You know, in reality, nobody really has noticed it because with everything going on, there hasn't been a whole lot of talk about why we're not playing baseball.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I was able to tolerate the fact that there was no baseball, no sports in April and May. But the last week or so, it's starting to really bother me. Maybe because there's nothing really to watch anymore because it's the season when there aren't any new shows on. And you know, I really miss watching sports. It's getting worse and worse right now.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely to that point. And you know, more and more, I'm really hoping that July 1st is the date in the NHL starts, you know, because that was their target date was to get their stuff up and rolling by July 1st, because I don't know, you know, how much longer I'm going to be willing to sit there and wait.
Yeah, in terms of the ratings, I think normally the NHL is less in terms of ratings than the NBA. Is that normally the way it goes for the most part?
Oh. So, the NHL is the worst rated of what's considered the four big sports.
I'm wondering, though, when hockey and basketball come back, the situation might be reversed this time. There'll be more of a ratings in the NHL than there is in the NBA. I'm certainly hoping that's the case, but we won't know until it really officially starts.
I think the difficult part with the NHL is, you know, the majority of their games air on, you know, the NBC Sports Network, and I don't know how widely available that is through all the systems. You know, I know like with mine, which is, you know, well, we have ATT Uverse, which if you ever have the option, don't get it because it's a nightmare. It will, like, we don't have basic. We have one of, they have a color scheme, and I think we have silver, which is the second or the third best package you can get. The NBC Sports doesn't come with the first two packages. So the only reason I get it is because we paid for that third tier. So I don't know where it fits in. Like, I don't know if it's on your basic Comcast setup or WOW or, you know, whatever other companies are out there providing TV. You can stream it. There is a streaming option for it. So, you know, you could do that. But, yeah, I think that may be their biggest hurdle, and I hope to avoid that. They put some games on actual NBC since it is, you know, summer rerun time.
Right, and there's other channels that they could pick up the slack this time. I'm wondering, though, if when they do come back, there'll be other channels added to the package that will start to bring hockey that haven't done so in the past because of what's going on.
Well, I know normally for the playoffs, they do show games on the USA Network and MSNBC. So they do use all their channels. I'm just really hoping, you know, that they look at this and go, hey, you know, if we can get a good matchup on NBC, we're going to roll in the ratings. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, like, the Blackhawks on NBC because for whatever reason, good or bad, the Blackhawks always do a really good rating.
Yeah, they do. They do. And I'm very curious when these games do resume and to see what kind of excitement we can get watching the games when there aren't any fans in the stands. Will it be less enjoyable? I'm sure it would have to be less enjoyable.
You know, I think for the players it's going to be less enjoyable, but for like me, I'm not going to care. You know, what the fans are doing there doesn't really affect me watching the game.
Right, but say it's a close game, it goes down to the wire, and there's a goal in the last minute of the game. Would you be as excited when that goal went in as you would be if the fans were yelling and screaming?
Oh, yeah, I would still be, you know, because like I said, I don't really pay much attention to what they're doing, you know, in the stands anyways. The only thing I'll actually miss, and it's just the Chicago thing, is I won't get to hear them sing after the Blackhawks score because I get a kick out of that song.
Yeah, yeah. What is that, Chelsea something or other? I forgot the name of it, but yeah.
Yeah,
it's certainly taken off at the UC, that's for sure. Oh, maybe they'll play it anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, they may play the song, but, you know, you won't know because we're not going to be in Chicago, but, you know, you just won't get the fans singing it. And, you know, I mean, it may be, you know, a little weird because, you know, every NHL team pretty much has their own national anthem ritual that they do that is just far and away better than any other sport out there. You know, I don't know if people have ever paid attention to that, but, you know, the NHL is – just the best at that.
Yeah, they
so
are.
So that, you know, that may be strange, but.
Has anything been addressed? I know the NFL has discussed this, but has the NHL or NBA discussed the fact that they might plug in some kind of crowd noise during the games?
No, you know, I haven't heard any team or any league really mention anything. You know, the closest I heard was, you know, the possibility, you know, there have been a couple players brought up the opportunity that maybe they should mic players. But that was about where I heard. I haven't heard anything else about if we'll have a, you know, some kind of faux crowd noise or something.
Yeah, I thought the NFL discussed the possibility of doing that when their season starts, if there was no fans in the stands.
They were the one league that did mention it, but it was just kind of in passing. And, you know, there were a couple people who, you know, made light of it. So I don't think it was anything, you know, they were kind of really going, you know, really going to do more or less.
Well, we'll look at it this way. Maybe the time will come when there won't be any actual physical sports involved, and we'll have a bunch of kids doing esports, and that's what the fans will be watching on TV now.
Yeah, I mean that is possible. So, I know the WNBA made an announcement today. It's kind of weird because they mentioned that they're going to cut their regular season down to 22 games, and they have a place to play. They're going to play all their games in one spot too. They're going to use the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. But oddly, unlike the other sports, you know, like the first thing the NHL did and the first thing the NBA did was announce a return date. The WNBA just went the opposite. Here's how many games, here's where we're going to play, but we don't have a date on when we're coming back yet. The thing was just starting next month. Okay, thank you.
I'm wondering if they're doing that because of the fact that the NBA, they usually run their season after the NBA season is over with. And they have to take that into consideration when they determine their schedule.
So, who knows what they're trying to do. And, you know, obviously, you know, the WNBA isn't a huge draw or anything, but you know, just one of those things that they announced, I believe they announced yesterday, and then the NBA announced today that their players association had approved the proposal that the NBA Board of Governors submitted to them. So, we're still, you know, like the only thing we're really waiting for out of the NHL is where the hell are they going to play these games?
Yeah. That's exactly right. And I know they've considered some venues, some in Canada, some here, but nothing specific has been set up yet.
Yeah, well, you know, apparently from what I've kind of deciphered, it does look like Las Vegas will probably be one of those venues, even though they said they are considering 10 places. I think what they're trying to do, and this is actually really smart of them, they would like another their other venue to be in a different time zone. This way it would help out with the playoff the playoff scheduling and obviously the television scheduling, which at this point is going to be very important for them because, you know, once those games are announced and they're going to be on, the sports fans are going to come. You know, you may not be the biggest hockey fan in the world, but you'll be, hey, I got a sport to watch. I'm going to watch some of this sport.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, the fact that, and I think that may be an issue for the NBA. I mean, you're looking at 22 teams in a playoff format playing in one arena. You know, are there going to be multiple games in a day? You know, are they going to play every day? You know, and that hasn't been announced yet. The schedule hasn't been announced. But, you know, what's the limit? How many games can you play in a day? And then what if one of those games goes into overtime?
Yeah,
you know, are you going to be starting a game at midnight because one of the games went long?
I think that initially, when the initial playoffs start in the hockey, they will have shootouts until it gets to the later rounds.
Yeah, I saw today the opening, you know, round series, as they describe them, are going to be five games. Then they're going to, from then on in, after they're down to what is, I think, kind of their normal setup, it'll be best of seven. But they're going to reseed after every round, which is different than they normally do. You know, the teams just won't be placed in a bracket. They'll be reseeded every round. So the team who had the best record coming into this will get the best advantage because they'll always play the lowest seeded team. Of course, in the NHL, sometimes that doesn't mean a whole lot.
No, that's right. And I'm assuming that all these games are going to be televised, right? It won't just be a select few.
You know, I would guess at this point they will be. I mean, I don't think we'll know until everything is finalized, but I can't see them not making sure every game is on TV unless it's just physically impossible, you know, if there's just too many games and not enough networks.
Yeah, well, I think with the proliferation of channels available now, they could probably always find some channel available that normally doesn't televise sports that they could – remember, like Core TV, don't they? They show some of the NCAA games or travel. The travel channel shows some of the during the big dance that we didn't see this year in March. They will show some games on those channels.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to remember, though, it's owned by NBC. So it's got to be on an NBC-owned network unless they're going to find a way to farm it out. So,
yeah, there'll be some logistics to take in consideration, that's for sure. But I think that, as you pointed out, I think all the games will probably eventually be seen on one channel or another.
Yeah, and, you know, I do wonder if there's possibly a network out there that might be interested in just buying a series from NBC, you know, if they can't cover them all, just to put it on and try to grab some ratings themselves?
Yeah, that's a good possibility. And when the NHL season does start and goes right into the playoffs, what about are they going to give the players a week or so to get back in shape prior to the game starting?
Yeah, they announced today when teams could start practicing and how they were going to do all that. I believe the NBA also announced as well how that was going to be handled. So it's all set on when, you know, they're going to be able to return and, you know, how this is all going to go down. But I didn't get all the factors in it. So,
well, you know, a lot of the players are probably working on their own in preparation starting. But
no,
there's still a big difference between working on your own and an actual games situation, as we know over the years how that works out.
Yeah, you know, my biggest concern with the NHL that I was wondering, and I don't know if this is something they've already handled, was, you know, obviously there's a lot of foreign-born players in the NHL.
Yeah,
and I was wondering if they had an issue with the travel restrictions, you know, on what may go down with them there.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of restrictions now in air travel, and I'm wondering if that indeed will be a factor. And of course, the same thing applies for the NBA, but not to the extent of the NHL. There's a lot of foreign players in the NBA, but not nearly as many as you pointed out in the NHL. So that has to be taken into consideration as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I do know, you know, some of the travel restrictions have been, you know, have been loosened now, you know, coming from overseas. You know, I know, like, I believe the ban in Mexico is still good till like June 18th, but I don't believe that will affect the NHL very much. I don't know that, you know, there may only be one player possibly that could be down there, I think. So yeah, you know, but yeah, it'll be, that was my one thing was, you know, can they get everybody here?
And it's not going to be an easy situation when both the NHL and the NBA comes back. Can you imagine the stringent testing that they have to do before and after every game now?
Yeah. So, yeah, well, I know I did just see the Japanese Baseball League was getting ready to start, and they just had to cancel everything because they had two players test positive.
Wow. Yeah, that's the thing that always worries me about what happens if they start up and someone gets a positive result? Does that cancel everything immediately? How are they going to work that?
Yeah, that is, you know, one of the, you know, and obviously there's going to be a billion questions with all this, But I haven't heard their response yet on how they're going to handle that one. You know, does a positive test shut everything down? Does it just shut that team down? How can they figure these things out? So that's something we're gonna have to wait and see once they release all this, what they're gonna do. And I know, like, the NBA was talking, and they described their situation as a bubble, you know, kind of being not so much quarantined, but living together like that. There was talk that they'll allow the players to leave and go out. You know, that's no issue for them as long as it's allowed in, you know, Florida. But I guess apparently when they come back, they'll have to go through some kind of checkup, you know, to make sure they're not coming back with a fever or, you know, stuff like that. So I just thought it was kind of a little bit of, you know, an oddity to see if maybe the Lakers or the Bucks or, you know, the teams with those big stars are going to make sure that they don't leave the area just to make sure they don't take that chance at all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, there's a lot of factors to take into consideration. It's not just, all right, we're starting this date and we'll proceed from there. These other factors definitely have to be taken into consideration. And say one team does catch it, one or two players in the team, does that team forfeit their season at that point in time? What are they going to do then?
Yeah, and that's something we'll have to kind of wait and see if or what they announce, or if they even announce it. You know, maybe they've already made a decision and they just haven't revealed it to us. So, but the one thing the NBA did announce that's getting a lot of press, I don't know if you saw this one, but they've decided that any player who was considered injured and out for the season can return as long as they're medically cleared. Now, the thing, of course, that immediately made this interesting was the fact that this put Kevin Durant back in the playoffs with the New Jersey Nets. And there were a lot of people who seemed to think that with Durant coming back, it automatically makes them the favorite in the East. I didn't buy that. I don't think he's going to make that big of a difference on that team with the way it's structured right now. But I don't know. Are you buying them as a serious contender?
No. Can you imagine the lack? He hasn't played for how long now? And is he going to come right in and be a contributing factor when the season resumes? I don't see it happening. And I don't think that makes him a contender at all.
It was game five of the finals when he got hurt.
Yeah, that's a long time. And you're not going to come back overnight and be back in playing shape like that. So I don't see that him coming back because of this delay is going to help the team all that much.
Yeah, the Nets are the seventh seed anyways. I don't know where they end up overall, but they were the seventh seed in the East. So I haven't seen the matchups yet. I don't know who they'll end up playing or how they're going to break that down. My guess is the NBA will drop the conference seeds, because I know what they would really like is they would like a Clippers-Lakers final. So they're probably going to try to find a way to manipulate that so they can get that, because face it, it is the NBA and that's what they do. But I just don't see, you know, and I know the other one is, you know, John Wall becomes eligible to return for the Wizards, but they're, you know, the ninth seed as it is. I don't even know if it's worth his while to come back.
And would he have a say in the matter if he's healthy enough? Can he say something like, I'm not 100% yet, I'm not coming back? Or can he make that decision?
Come out and say, you know, because everybody else was talking about him playing already, and he actually come out and had to make an announcement that he's not been officially cleared. He's not medically cleared to play, but for some reason, somebody in the media or somebody somewhere got the idea that he was okay to play and started talking about him rejoining the Wizards, and he was like, hey, hang on, I don't have medical clearance yet, so, you know, hold your horses there.
Yeah, I don't know what that idea. Yeah, they're just these rumors and speculation start happening and it snowballs and everybody thinks that he's back and obviously he's not ready.
Yeah, well, you know how it is with the media nowadays, especially with social media. You know, you want to be the first one to report on something. You don't have to have any facts or even be right. You just want to be the first one to report on it.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't think these players want to risk it. If they're 85%, the delay is getting them closer to coming back. Are they going to risk playing and re-injuring that themselves?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it might depend who you are or what team you're on when it kind of comes back. You know, because, I mean, if you're on a contender with a team that has a chance to win it, yeah, you know, I might be a little more interested in coming back. But, like, if I'm John Wall and I'm the last team in the playoffs, I don't know if I'm, you know, I would have to be 100% teed healthy before I would come back.
Well, I think that currently now, when you compare the NBA players to the NBA players 20 years ago, I think that there's a lot more reluctance on a player coming back when he's not 100% than there would have been 10, 20 years ago when a guy says, I'm back, I'm coming in. I don't care if I'm still hurting. I'm playing. You don't see that anymore.
So, no, and, you know, there was a lot of backlash when Durant got hurt, even though he was medically cleared and ruled healthy. You know, the Warriors got a lot of flack for allowing him to come back. And it was like, well, they said he was told by a doctor he was healthy. What, you know, you got to let guys play if they want to play.
Yeah, it's true. And a lot of things are taken into consideration when these injuries occur, and especially under this current situation right now with the gap in time and giving these players a chance to heal a little bit more. But they're out of shape too, don't forget. And they're not gonna be playoff shape or game shape because of this long delay, no matter how much they're ruled ready to play, ready to compete. Maybe they're ready to compete, but at what level are they ready to compete?
So yeah, and you know, that's gonna, you know, and obviously, you know, they're gonna go through a training camp as well. You know, it's not like, you know, we're going to, you know, just here you go, get back on the court, let's go. You know, they're gonna go and, you know, work out or however they've got it planned. And, you know, I know some of the facilities are open now and players have been working out. So we'll have to see how that kind of goes. But yeah, I just don't know. Is it possible we're going to get sloppy basketball?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And the only thing that these returning players have to their advantage is that there's no longer any defense in the NBA. No more hard-nosed basketball, so maybe they will have a chance to come back and play at a fairly high level.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and I mean, obviously, you know, the game isn't what it was. I mean, guys can stand out there and hit three-pointers all day. You know, it's not going to be a huge issue for them. You know, and they don't have to get up and down the court too much like they used to. So
yeah, I'm wondering who controls the boards now. I mean, are there actually still players who go for the ball?
So yeah, I don't you know, very few.
Yeah, it's so different now, and it's to me it's very disappointing.
No, you know, and that's part of my problem with the whole thing is it's just, it's no longer basketball. You know, I mean, we've been over this, countless times here. You know, they don't play basketball. They shoot three-pointers and they dunk.
Yeah, and with all that being said, the thing that we always discuss and to me is mystifying is that with the lack of physical contact now, like everybody taking three-pointers, there's still a lot of injuries in the NBA. And I explain that one to me. I don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think part of it has to come with we know more about injuries now. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what people thought was an injury before may not have been, you know, or may have been, and we just didn't know what it was. So, you know, I mean, obviously medicine has come a much longer way to where they're, you know, they're knowing it's kind of like, oh, okay, you know, this is, you know, we got to watch this. You know, because, I mean, if you think about it, you know, being a longtime baseball fan, you know, how many lat strains did you hear about when you first started watching the game compared to now?
Yeah, what a difference. What a difference. I guess it's probably the same in all sports then. With the exception of the NHL.
Yeah. Yeah, because they just, you know, it doesn't matter what you do to those guys, they just keep playing. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, cause, you know, because, yeah, if you think about it, I mean, you know, there's just more things, you know, that we notice now. You know, and to be fair, when a guy gets an injury that he could play with all the money these guys are making, the team doesn't want him to play because if he aggravates it, then he's out for a longer period of time. You know, it's better to sit out a couple games for a couple weeks than miss a month or 6 months. So
Without question. So it's a complex situation, but it's certainly going to be looked at quite closely when the play resumes.
Yeah, and, you know, I will be interested to see how hard some of these guys actually play when they come back. You know, and, you know, this is probably more NBA related because I don't know how, you know, the hockey guys, I don't know if you can, well, I guess you kind of can kind of half-ass it in hockey, but it would be extremely noticeable there. You know, but, yeah, I wonder in the NBA just how much heart these guys are going to have and how hard they're actually going to try when, you know, this gets rolled out and things kind of get going. Because I'm just kind of under the impression that we're going to see a lot of flat basketball, and it's just not going to be enjoyable.
No, which is why, as I pointed out, I'm looking forward to hockey, but not so much looking forward to basketball.
So yeah, and you know, I've said it a million times here. I'm not a fan of the NBA anymore as it is. You know, I will tune in, and I'll do what I always do. I'll watch, get the score. You know, I'll watch a guy pass up a makeable 10 or 15 foot jump shot so a guy can brick a 3-pointer. I'll watch a guy take 3 or 4 steps on his way to the basket to do a highlight reel dunk.
Yeah.
I won't see anybody play defense and I'll get frustrated and turn it off. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I know you didn't watch as much as I did when they showed the old Bulls games and some of these games on the basketball channel and some of the others. But the thing that I noticed immediately was the defense, the tenacious, rough defense in those games as compared to what it is now, or lack of it, I suppose I should say.
Yeah, it's a huge difference when you compare those two games. And I know it's difficult to compare players from different eras. You know, and like one of the weirdest things is, you know, like they always kind of bring that up, but what they forget is the way guys played defense back then, they would have fouled out in the first half of this new NBA because, you know, the refs would have been just blowing the whistle on them because they were too physical.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I would give in today's current basketball, I'd give, for example, Bill Laimbeer maybe 1/4 at the most before he fouled out.
Yeah, you know, that's just, you know, and that's the way it was back then. I mean, you know, it was unsafe to go under, you know, get in the lane or try drive the lane or, you know, get the ball in the post. I mean, you had to be, you know, a physical beast more or less, you know, like Moses Malone to score in the paint.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, now, well, A, they don't throw the ball in the paint anymore because you don't have any real big men. And if you do, they're standing out by the 3-point line because they want to shoot them too. So, but yeah, it's odd, you know, and that's like they say, you know, well, LeBron would be successful in every era, and yes, he would be, but he probably wouldn't be a 30-point scorer in every era, because they would do things to him that he's not used to having done to him.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. And, yeah, it's a different time right now, and it's unfortunate that it's become the way it is. And I guess basketball is better than no sports at all, right? We'll have to see what happens.
You know, what it all devolves into, and unfortunately this is where baseball always comes out the loser. You know, and I've mentioned it today, and, you know, and I'm sure you'll notice it as an older guy. There's no attention span anymore. You know, you can't sit a kid down and watch a game with him because a couple minutes in they're bored and they're on their phone or they want to play a video game. You know, they want to get out Call of Duty or whatever first-person shooter is hot right now and play that game. You know, they don't want to sit down and kind of watch the intricacies of the game that you kind of need to know. So what the NBA did is they tried to make the game exciting. You know, let's run up and down the court. Let's dunk. Let's shoot threes. You know, let's make the game fast moving. Unfortunately, they can't apply that to the end of their games, which are just ridiculous because it takes 15 minutes to play the last 2 minutes. They're trying to stay with that younger fan base or acquire that younger fan base that, you know, all these sports need. And, you know, so, I mean, it's their fault, but they're not, it's not their fault is the way I kind of look at it. You know, they're doing what they have to do to try to stay and be successful. You know, and unfortunately guys like you and I who are no longer in the demographic that they care about, get to come out here and go, remember when they used to play defense?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. And of course the one sport that the kids really have trouble paying attention to now is baseball, despite the fact that they try to speed the game up. And it's still a slow moving sport unless you're a true baseball aficionado like we are.
Yeah, you know, and that's the tough thing with it. And baseball is always going to lose out on that because you're never going to be able to make the game fast enough. There's just no way to do it.
Right, and I still prefer baseball to any other sport, and maybe football comes a close second. But we're in the minority. We're the old-timers, especially me.
So, unfortunately, that's just kind of, you know, how it is. You know, we've been introduced to, you get everything right away. You want it, you get it.
You
can't do that with baseball.
No, that is for sure. But
you know, I mean, you can speed up the other sports and make them exciting. Basketball, football. You can do all that kind of stuff, but baseball, I mean, even when you speed it up, it's still slow.
Yeah. But that's the beauty of the game, but that's the way we think about it, at least, but no one else does. At least the young fan base doesn't think that way.
Yeah, you know, it's the ultimate strategy game, but to know that about baseball, you actually got to take your time and sit down and watch it. So.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Every position is important. Every positioning is important, and ball strike count is important, but I don't think the fans look at it that way, the current fans anyway.
No. Hey, look at that. Can you believe we're done already? It seemed like it kind of flew by. Well, there you go. We're going to roll back Monday at 4:30. You know, get to that before the going a little bit, but hopefully it'll remember. You know the deal all along. SportsCallMedia.com. This is a new broadcast that I get tomorrow morning. Now you're going to follow the link to the Facebook page. And, oh, one other way over there. Go ahead and like that. You get the Twitter feed, which is at SportsCallRadio. You can see the country down on Twitter. I am at SportsCallMedia. That's SportsCallMedia. And hey, it's so fun to work with you live. Thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want at tunein.com.